This is Marketplace. I'm Kimberly Adams. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking on this program about a battle between economics and biology. Microbes are developing resistance to the antibiotics we have, and according to the World Health Organization, the pharmaceutical industry isn't keeping up with demand for new drugs. Most big antibiotic producers have left the market, and the rate of new antibiotics getting to market is painfully slow. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour has been looking at ways to fix that.
Making antibiotics doesn't pay enough to keep more than a handful of companies interested in doing it. One solution? Netflix. Not the actual streaming service and not streaming video. Streaming antibiotics. James Anderson is chair of the Antimicrobial Resistance Industry Alliance.
The analogy with Netflix is good because in some months you may binge on a whole bunch of episodes. Whereas in other months, you know, it's the summer, you're outside, you don't watch anything at all, but you still pay your subscription.
One of the problems with the antibiotic market is that prices are too low to attract investment, and the market is small because antibiotics are not supposed to be consumed willy-nilly, but used as little as possible. Jocelyn Ulrich is with Pharma, a pharmaceutical industry trade group.
The ideal state is to have very low volume use. And therefore, it's a market failure because a lot of companies can't recoup their investment once they've made a new medicine.
So one idea, sometimes called the Netflix model, is to have governments pay pharmaceutical companies a negotiated amount to provide a new antibiotic, whether it is used much or not.
So then the manufacturer would know that they would have a guaranteed amount of revenue. And in exchange, they would manufacture enough of the medicine to cover all the need in the government programs.
The company would still be able to sell to the private sector, too. Congress is considering a version of this in something called the Pasteur Act. Of course, one question is calculating how much the pharmaceutical company should get.
That is a very complicated exercise.
Anderson says a company might need, ballpark figure, $2 to $4 billion total for each antibiotic to attract investment into the sector. U.S. legislation would offer $750 million to $3 billion to supply Medicare and Medicaid. A version of this is underway in the U.K. for two new antibiotics. Sally Davies is a physician and the U.K. Special Envoy for Antimicrobial Resistance.
We estimated the value to England's National Health Service over 20 years and assigned each of the drugs a value for a 10-year contract.
Shionogi and Pfizer are getting a combined $13 million a year for the drugs to supply the UK. Another idea proposed in Europe is to offer companies that make antibiotics vouchers to extend patents. Again, James Anderson.
And so the value goes to the company that made the antibiotic, not through selling more of the antibiotic or having a high price, but through this voucher.
A company could use the voucher to extend patent protection on another drug. The longer the patent, the more money a pharmaceutical company can make. It could also sell that voucher to another firm. Dr. Evan Lowe is CEO of Paratek Pharma, which sells a new antibiotic called Nuzyra. He says subscription models or vouchers aren't enough. Some hospitals, he says, are resistant to paying for newer and more expensive antibiotics.
Let's say an antibiotic costs $400 a day versus using a older, less effective antibiotic for $10 a day, where's their choice? You know, we've run into hospitals today that have said we're not using any branded antibiotics, period. So there's no way to even get on the formulary for doctors to have a choice to use our product.
Part of the issue, Lowe says, is the way many hospitals are reimbursed for hospital visits. It's in a lump sum that covers everything, x-rays to antibiotics.
When hospitals look to make their margin, they see low-hanging fruit, such as an antibiotic.
Lowe calls the antibiotics market fragile and broken. Dr. Vance Fowler at Duke agrees there needs to be some kind of solution.
It's hard to get all warm and fuzzy about big pharma, but the reality is we need them.
Bugs, of course, don't have economic considerations about markets and investment returns. Bugs just replicate and evolve, whether humans take notice or not. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
You can find more of Sabri's stories on this issue on our website, marketplace.org.